What if the person you need to love first is you? This week, Zara Atwater joins me to talk toxic patterns, dating app burnout, and why real love starts with self-worth, not swipes. This one cuts deep, folks. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Digital Dating Podcast with Anonymous Andrew. And I am really excited to introduce our next guest. Today, I have Zara Atwater with me. And Zara is a relationship development coach. Yeah, hi, she's waving because this is being videoed and hopefully it'll be on YouTube. So Zara, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Andrew. I always like to say it's an honor to share heartbeats because our heartbeats are the only currency that we have, right? So it's a beautiful
correct
thing for sharing my heartbeats with you and your listeners today.
Oh, I like that. I like that very much. So Zara, from her bio, you were many years ago, you were in a, the way you put it, you were in a bad relationship for 10 years. You were struggling. You got out of that. And then you went on this journey. I guess we do have to mention where you're from. You went on, you took an RV around Australia and you found yourself and you started a business. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I guess to kind of put it into some context, I was in a 10-year relationship with someone I was madly in love with. And, you know, I like to use the metaphor, like we're on an aeroplane, right? And we're going to our ideal holiday destination. And I was drinking margaritas and feeling like this was just the dream holiday. And then I walked in on him in bed with my best friend. And We lost cabin pressure. I went down, right? It was the kind of moment where you realized that what you thought you had or what I thought I had was not what he thought, or we were on completely different planes.
And so, that sounds awfully familiar.
Yeah, right. So I'm not the first and I won't be the last, but it's how we pick ourselves up from those kind of experiences. And, you know, they can make or break us. And so I broke down for about 2 years. It was an incredibly difficult time just to reheal. And I got some help. I got some mentoring. I got some coaching. I went into counseling. So I explored all the different areas and read all the different books to try and give myself that help. But what really changed and transformed things for me was during COVID, when we weren't allowed to go anywhere, I bought a secondhand van and spent all the time during COVID for about a year rebuilding this van based on YouTube videos and myself off around Australia. If you can hear my accent, it's probably a quasi English Australian accent that I have. And I trekked off and I did a full lap, 2.5 years on the road, doing a lap of Australia, falling into holes, learning all sorts of things, but basically bringing my message of resilience and courage and confidence to people on the road and building up my coaching practice as I went. So it's really, you know, my message is really simple from my own experience is that, you know, real lasting love really begins with a solid foundation of self-love and self-worth. And too often I found in my own experience and with those of my clients that we chase after love and we chase after validation. And we're overlooking the real importance of cultivating it within ourselves. So I encourage people to really invest in their own personal growth, to embrace that courage. You know, it really takes setting boundaries and to create a relationship where they feel genuinely safe and supported. So that true transformation comes when you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and take the risks that, you know, for your life that you truly deserve, whether that means going off on a solo adventure or setting new standards for your relationship. So that's where I really help people, and predominantly working with an anxious attachment style. I'm not sure if you or your listeners are familiar with the three different attachment styles.
We've covered it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, there are four, but the main three are secure, avoidant, and anxious. And there's a fourth, which is a combination of anxious and avoidant, right? But I mainly deal with the top three. So in my, you know, in my experience, the stats are that the 50% of the general population across the world, from my understanding, is securely attached. And so what that means is if you are anxious or avoidant, there's a high chance that you're going to be in a constant cycle, or what I call a misery go round dating world, where you're constantly attracting either the avoidant or the anxious. And these secure people that make up 50% of the population are somehow this elusive unicorn or the golden goose of the dating world. And so I'm really here to give testimony to, if you are running an anxious attachment style or an avoidant attachment style and you're really wanting to find love, that it is wholly possible to be able to become more secure in and of yourself and attract the relationship that you really deserve. So that's what I'm all about.
Somewhere I read again in your bio is on the dating apps. So that's where you mentioned that 50% of the people on the dating apps are securely attached and the other 50% are avoidant or anxious attached, and they're triggered by the emotionally avoidant people that struggle to find a secure partner. Those are your words.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so it's 25% of the population are anxious and 25% are avoidant. And so it feels like you're constantly in this loop. So I just want to also highlight that I've created a couple of ebooks. If you're on the apps and you're trying to get off the apps or you're trying to meet someone in person, I've created a little ebook of 52 different ways to meet someone in real life, which I will share with your listeners so that you can get that at the end of this podcast. But it is kind of feels like I'm over the dating apps. They're just preying on the lonely. And let's face it, you know, the apps have really gamified the idea of meeting. It's in their interest for you to stay on the apps. They make money out of it. They're not really interested in you finding somebody. It's more about making it a game so that you stay on it for as long as possible. And the result of that is when you're in a relationship, if you find somebody, that as soon as things get a little bit difficult or it becomes a bit of a challenge or you're getting triggered, then there's a tendency to go, I'm going to go back on the app because there's a load of different people that I can choose from. I don't have to put up with this. And so we're actually losing the skills to be able to develop a more secure relationship and benefit ourselves from actually going through the process of understanding, well, what am I being triggered by? Why am I being triggered by this? How do I heal that? How do I work through that? Because if you don't, you're simply taking that to the next relationship and the next relationship, which will keep you stuck in a cycle of, you know, attracting the same kind of partners unless you do the work. And you know, I always say this to people, that we can live within our comfort zone, but is our comfort zone that comfortable? If we're able to kind of dip a big toe or a little toe on the outside of our comfort zone so that we're getting a little bit of discomfort, that's the edge of our growth. That's where our real development lies. But it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be messy. But the short-term gain or the short-term pain for the long-term gain is really, it's incredible what you can do with shifting your mindset in those ways.
We chatted before we recorded, but I didn't tell you this part. So I was all those things for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I was always avoidant or anxiously attached. I shouldn't say avoidant. I really was more anxiously attached. And I was always finding, I never had problems finding women. It was sustaining the relationship. And I always found myself chasing her. The first, of course, 3 to 6 months is the honeymoon. Everything's fine. And then I find them pulling away and I'm chasing after them and trying to people please them and do everything they like. And that's where I started losing my respect and I dropped my boundaries. And what's interesting was that the last relationship that ended, once I finally, I said, stop. I had therapists and a sponsor and a bunch of people saying, Andrew, stop. Stop dating. Stop getting into relationships. Why don't you take some time off? And I did. And I took those 2 years off. And I was so anxious at being single. Like, what am I going to do with myself? Because I was not comfortable in my own skin. Yeah. I needed a woman on my arms. I couldn't go to the movies. I couldn't go to the beach. I couldn't go shopping. I had to have a lady next to me. I couldn't take pictures, whatever. Today, literally 2.5 years later, since the relationship ended, I am so comfortable. as a single man. And I'm almost scared to get into a relationship because I have established my own boundaries. But I like where I'm at right now. I have my own place. I can come and go as I please. And I remember in relationships, it's always like you have to check in. You have to, hey, honey, I'll be back in a couple of hours. You know, I don't have to do that. But the other side of that coin is the loneliness, you know. So on a Friday night and Saturday night, if I don't have a date, I'm home watching Netflix or working on the podcast, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So
I love that sharing, Andrew. I just want to check in because I want to clarify. I don't want to mind read. But when you say that you're scared of going into a new relationship, given all of the work that you've done on yourself and you've explored all of these areas where you recognize you weren't able to go to the movies by yourself, but now you're able to do that. My mind read is that potentially the fear, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, is it based on a fear that you're going to lose yourself again, or is it something else?
Wow. I think this is new territory for me because all my life, and I'm not kidding, and I'm in my young 60s, all my life, with two marriages and lots of relationships in between, it was always one relationship would end. I would literally maybe grieve a month or two and right back on the app or right back out to the club. And I would meet somebody else, get in a relationship. So I haven't been this single for 2 years ever.
Okay. But just, you mentioned you were scared about getting into a
relationship.
Just interested to know, what's that fear?
What's that fear? I think I did so much work on myself that I'm so comfortable where I am that I never thought I would get here. That I'm now that I'm here, I think I do have a fear if getting into a relationship and those feelings come back, all that oxytocin, and then of course being intimate. Of course, as you get older, that intimacy factor kind of kicks in. Like, you know, we don't like our bodies as we get older, and you know. That's a real thing for us. I hate to say, like, you know, over 60. And I think things like that I'm afraid of. And not that I'm afraid to take my clothes off in the bedroom because she has to do it too. I just think it's fear of maybe repeating some of the old mistakes. Like, will I get triggered? So if I text her and I don't get a text back.
Right.
Which, by the way, was in your quiz, I think. Zara has a quiz on her website, which it takes 2 minutes to do. And it's an attachment style quiz. And I recommend, and I'll put it in the show notes for the audience. I recommend you take this quiz as well as her eBooks that are on the website, right? They're on the website.
They're on the website too. Yeah.
Take this quiz and it'll tell you your attachment style. And
one of them
was something about if your partner doesn't text you back in a certain amount of time, how do you feel? And I think now I answered it, what I thought honestly was like, yeah, she's busy. She's got like a life like everybody else. She'll get back to me when she can. But knowing the last relationship, sometimes it would be a whole day before I would hear from her, or the overnight. Will I be triggered if I text my new girlfriend at, I don't know, 3 p.m. and I don't hear from her until 9:00? That could be a trigger. So I don't know how to answer.
You won't know until you're in that situation. And so what you're pointing to is beautiful because it's an idealized self. It's how I would like to be able to show up and how I hope that I will be able to show up. But at the end of the day, the triggers, unless we've worked them through, are still potentially there. And I shared my trauma. We've experienced trauma in relationship. And so the fear comes in, you know, my heart, I want to protect my heart. I don't want to feel that again. And so we can tend to build walls up around that heart. And I see this so often. So the desire to want to be in a relationship and feel that connection and share your life with somebody is really strong, but it has this kind of equal opposite. I don't want to be hurt again. I've been hurt in the past. And so I really kind of draw attention to what I call the 3 P's. That's for personalizing, making it pervasive, and making it permanent. And so what that means is that we've taken this snapshot in time. Let's just use my betrayal as an example, right? And I've personalized it. I've made it all about me. I was an idiot. I should have seen the red flags. I was all of these things, right? So I've made it personal. And then I've made it pervasive. So what I've done is I've made that single event means that every guy that I ever date from here on in is going to cheat on me. That's been my experience, right?
Yeah.
Because I make it pervasive. That single event is now going to be, so I've got to protect myself. I've got to be armed. I've got to be, it's like I'm going into war whenever I go on a date because I've got to make sure this person isn't going to hurt me.
And your walls are up.
And the walls are up, right? And then, and it's understandable because you've been hurt. And so I make it pervasive, I make it personal, and I make it permanent, which I don't allow. It means that I don't allow myself to entertain any other option. This is the only way I'm going to have a relationship. It's always going to be like these. These are the people that I attract. And that gets reconfirmed with the anxious and avoidant in the dating pool because they're constantly attracting the same type of partners because they're not doing the work on themselves, right? And so to counteract that, it's a being able to look at that point in time. And for me, it was several years ago now that, yes, that happened. That happened then at that point in time. But I was a different person then. I'm not the same person now. And I have to be open to the idea that there are lots of different people on the planet. And it doesn't mean that the next person I meet is going to do
Correct.
The same thing. And so it's about just empowering myself with, okay, yeah, that happened. That's the truth. But I can also open myself up to the idea that it doesn't have to be like that next time. And also give myself credit for being able to recognize if those traits do start to happen again, because I've already experienced them, so I know what they're going to be like. And be open to the idea that everybody is different, right? So
let me ask you a question. In hindsight, before you walked into the bedroom, were there any red flags or telltale signs that he might have had somebody on the side and you ignored?
No, there weren't any telltale signs to me that he might have had somebody on the side because of we were in a meditation school at the time where the sanctity of a monogamous relationship was really powerful, being able to be in that. So that was the furthest thing from my mind, but we were having problems. So in order to kind of answer that question, I was ignoring red flags, but they weren't the red flags that I thought. So I was ignoring him. He was short and dismissive with me. He'd spend nights over at his mate's place getting drunk and not coming home. And then I'd have to go and pick him up in the mornings. There wasn't any sort of thinking that there was another woman involved. And as it was my best friend.
Oh.
So I lost two friends and two people in the process. Yeah, it was quite a double whammy. But from what you're speaking to, Andrew, I was afraid of being alone. I didn't want to be alone. And so to me, like I said, in my world, it was the perfect relationship. And so we had some issues, but everybody has issues.
Right.
Through, but they weren't healthy issues. They weren't both of us coming to the table. It was a constant compromise. You know, my motivation was based on a fear, unconscious fear, that I didn't want to be alone. And so I couldn't avoid it. It was right there. I saw a visual. It's not like I could just kind of pretend he wasn't doing that. It was a
right.
And strong visual. And so I packed up my life after 10 years with him in 2 weeks and I moved out. And it was a struggle. I felt very broken inside. When I'm coaching people that have been through something similar, it really feels like you've been knocked over by a bus, right? Every bone in your body just broken. You feel completely shattered. And yet there's no bruises to show for what you're going through.
Not on the outside. No, no, no.
You've got nothing to kind of explain how you're emotionally feeling.
Let me ask you, I'm just curious, did he, when you left, did he watch you walk out the door or did he try to, I'm sorry, honey, it'll never happen again, and try to stop you from leaving?
No, I think for both of us, it had gotten beyond that point. We had been in the process for 2 years of building a house together. So we were renovating the house. And so that's what I was thinking the problems were coming from, building the house and the financial difficulties that come with that. And so that's where I thought we were having issues and we just needed to overcome. Meanwhile, he'd been having an affair for all that time and he had he'd washed his hands of the relationship. He wasn't interested, but didn't have the courage or the confidence to be able to face me and say that. He didn't want to hurt me, but he wasn't capable or had the emotional intelligence to have that conversation with me.
Why? And I don't mean just him, but that happened to me. And had she sat me down after 1 year and said, I want to go out and spread my wings and I'm getting either dance around the subject or just come out and say it, I'm bored or I need more something. Why don't people do that?
Well, I think it comes down to, you know, I mean, and everybody is different and I can't make a generalization.
Of course, of course.
I'm going to make a generalization, but I think deep down, we all want to be liked. We all want to be seen as nice people. We don't want to be the evil one, right? We're motivated by a desire to be seen as good people. I think as a generalization, we don't do anything with any ill intent. I don't think that any of us do that. I think there is always a meaning behind whatever behavior we do, right? And so you imagine this thing that I'm wanting to do is going to cause my partner a lot of pain. I don't want to cause them pain. And so I'm going to avoid having that conversation. That comes from, you know, an avoidant or an anxious behavior pattern. A secure person would be able to have that kind of conversation, would be able to kind of take responsibility for their part in it, be mindful that it's going to be emotionally difficult and navigate that conversation in the best interests of both parties. But it's an incredibly difficult conversation to have someone. So it's a, not an easy, you know.
And I get that. If I sit down with her or him and tell them that I'm in love with somebody else or I'm done, yeah. Yes, it's going to hurt you. But the hurt of you walking in and seeing them in bed together was tenfold, I would imagine.
So always say that if you're in the process of having an affair with somebody, right, you don't have that other person's best interests at heart anyway.
No,
right?
No.
You're being quite selfish. So you're not even cognizant. Yeah, you might be thinking it's going to hurt them if they find out, but you don't have their best interests at heart.
I get that. But in my situation, she had to answer questions night after night or weekend after weekend of me, you know, where were you last night? Why didn't you call me? And I wonder why at some point she just didn't sit down and just say enough. I'm done and I'm seeing somebody else, because you endure more of the drama or the chaos that's going on. So maybe that was in your case, but in my case, there was always conflict because she was never available. And I, in the back of my mind, I knew that something was up. So I would question her and I had ways of finding out whether or not my theories were true. And I would even present her with evidence and she would gaslight me. And she had plenty of opportunity to say, yep, you caught me. I'm seeing somebody else, and could have walked away. And then, yeah, I would have been devastated, but you see where I'm going?
Yes, I do. So my question for you, Andrew, would be if you just said that you knew that something was going on. So in your heart of hearts, there was an awareness, whether you wanted to acknowledge it or not, subconsciously, whatever. You just said you knew that there was something going on because you were asking her all these questions. Had she at that time answered you honestly, would it have changed anything, or would you have created an excuse to stay with her because you were creating, you were, it wouldn't have actually mattered at that time is potentially what I'm seeing, because even in your heart of hearts, you knew that there was something going on and you're wanting her to take responsibility for, and I say this with full compassion, a lack of responsibility that you're having for yourself in that moment.
I wonder what my answer would have been if she did sit me down and say, yes, there is somebody else. And actually, I remember having a phone call with her one night and she just came out of nowhere, out of like left field, and said, I have a boyfriend.
Right.
And I think that was true. And I laughed because I think we were in the middle of an argument or something. And I think she finally said it and I laughed it off, said, no, you don't. You're just trying to get me riled up, you know? But I think at the time I just dismissed it.
Right.
2 years later, I'm looking back going, she told me.
Yes. So there it is. Even if you're looking for her to tell you that it's the desire to not be single, the desire to not lose that relationship, so outweighs anything that she could have possibly said. So even though you're saying, why didn't she tell me, if she only she'd be honest, if she'd answer my questions, it's really to take that kind of ownership of, would I really heard it? And it sounds like you didn't even want to hear it when she told you. And so there's almost a process that we all have to go through when we're in these situations of reaching a point of no return. For me, it was witnessing that thing and it was traumatic. But I guess in the aftermath, I wouldn't have changed it for the world because it had to take that traumatic.
Oh, yes.
For me to leave.
Me too.
Avoiding everything, right? And so, yeah, I think it's a necessary component.
And I think there was another aspect too, was I, number one, she was beautiful and I say 10 out of 11 out of 10, whatever. And I said, I'll never get this kind of caliber of woman again. So I was not willing to let go. And I also was afraid to be propelled into the single world again, because right. I'd have to go through the grief process, the being alone, and right. In hindsight, I'm thinking, but I've done that 15 times already. I've been in so many relationships. I've been, 18 months, maybe 2 years, whatever it was. One was only 1 year. That was the 1 year relationship was the only one when it ended. I just said that was a waste of a year because we didn't even love each other. We never even said I love you to each other. So right. Yeah, I think I was afraid to be put back into the dating okay. pool. And have to go back on a dating app or which.
And there you can hear the three P's taking place, right?
Right.
I'm never going to find someone as beautiful as this, that's personalizing in it and making it all pervasive. There's no way I'm ever going to find someone. I've got to hold on to this, make it more permanent. But all of that is robbing you of your ability to be able to care for self. You're giving away your power and yeah.
I gave that away like almost 8 months into the first. I could tell you a story about 6 months in where she took a trip to Florida and I gave power away, but my audience has heard it so many times.
Okay.
But she was doing something inappropriate in Florida and she sent me some pictures that I thought that were inappropriate because she was visiting a friend and I called her out on it. And she said, if you don't like it, there's plenty of people waiting to date me. Take it or leave it. So I said, oops, okay, I'm sorry. I backed off. I tried to establish a boundary and she just rushed right through it. And so I learned.
The boundaries that you're trying to establish are blurry because it's almost like I talk about this with my clients. It's almost like there's this low-level engine and that engine is a fear of being single, right? And if you imagine that engine is running constantly and anything that might trigger you for that engine to just rev up and come to the fore is going to supersede whatever. So she's saying to you, here's some photos that's triggering the fear that you might be single. If you just back off a bit, the engine will go down. So that's motivating your behavior. It's motivating the thinking and accommodating you. And you deserve more than that. You deserve better than that.
Okay. Let's take a, we got some time left. Let's talk a little bit briefly about the dating world today and why I'd like your perspective, because the season that we're in now, I'm trying to cover the modern dating. So even though you have an ebook out about how to meet people in the real world, which I'd like to talk a little bit about that, but what do you think is wrong with the dating culture today? Because whether in Australia, United States, or even in Europe, I'm hearing everybody complain about it. And I hear everything from COVID to the Me Too movement, the red pill movement. There's so many movements and so many things on social media that people are almost afraid to actually get on a dating app, or they do, they don't commit. And like you said, they keep the dating apps are designed to keep you there, never to really get off.
And, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Andrew, you and I are of the age where we would have telephones and we'd have to phone the house.
Oh, yes.
And speak to the mother or the father.
Yep.
Before we were able to speak to the person. And then there would be no private conversations. And then we got those extension cords that you could pull the phone into a bedroom or into another room to close the door to have a little bit of a private conversation. They were always in the house. And so there was a kind of some social skills that you needed to have, because you don't know who's going to pick up that phone. And, have an intention when you make that call. I want to be able to speak to, let's call it Bob or Bobette. I have an intention to speak to them, but I have to mind my P's and Q's to
yep.
be able to speak to the mum or the mother or father.
You got to get past that firewall. Yeah.
through the gate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have some honorable intentions. And the same would go, you know, if I was getting calls, and then where are you going? How, you have to have some time restrictions. What, you know, when are you going to be back? And so there is none of that in the dating world, right? It's like you've basically flung the door open and letting anybody and all sorts in. And I really feel for people on the dating apps to be able to create that, their own firewall. If we have triggers and old childhood woundings that are coming up, they're going to get triggered because we don't have the filtration system in place to be able to discern whether this person's going to break my heart or not. We want to find love, and so we throw those kind of issues out the window. We're willing to trust readily because we so want that, you know. I don't know if you have over in America the Married at First Sight series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, or Love at First Sight, but Married, yes.
Married at First Sight, and so it's a series on here at the moment. And, you know, in the beginning, when they so want to have the relationship work, when they're marrying somebody for the first time, they've never met them, they're on the altar, everything's fantastic. And then they start to get to know the people, and maybe the triggers start to come out, and it becomes like, that's it, I'm over, I'm leaving. And I think it's a great kind of snapshot of the modern day dating, wherever things start to get wrong or a bit difficult. It takes effort to work at that. And we forget that that's the effort that used to occur before the dating apps, right? Getting through that firewall, going on a date and being understanding someone, not just going on one date, but going on three or four dates to give this person an opportunity to show me who they are. Because anything could be happening on that first date. They might have, you know, had a bad day at work or be preoccupied with something that they're having to do with the family, or there could be any number of reasons. Nerves could be at play. And so if you're only taking a snapshot of what that person is like on the first date, you're not really honoring the personality. You're not really honoring who they are. So I always recommend, if you are meeting someone through the dating apps, give them at least two or three goes just to be able to get a good rounded off understanding of them. And, you know, we've all got insecurities running. We've all got things and quirks. And so you could be showing up in a way that's not ideal for them as well. So at least give it at least two dates.
A retort to that, I think it might be called. So recently, and both of them happened in this year. So let's say from January to, we're recording this in mid-March. I met two women on a dating app, and we went on dates. Date number one went great. And would I like to see you again? Yes, I'd love to see you again. Date number two and date number three. Then are you familiar with the term breadcrumbing? String you along. Yeah, they string you along. So I went the first date, and then the second date was within five days or so. And then the third date was this weekend. I got A, B, and C going on. And I said, oh, that's fine. Let's do it next weekend. And then next weekend comes and we made plans. And then that morning I get a call saying, tonight's not going to work, but I'm free tomorrow night, you know, and then maybe I wasn't free. The point is that it went from one to two to three dates to, it took almost about 4 to 5 weeks to get three dates done because that happened. And then I finally said to her, when you're ready, let me know, because you're clearly not ready. Right. But 2 weeks later, I meet another woman and I get the same thing. We were talking for 5 days and I didn't even get to meet her. There was no dating. All I asked was, can we have a phone call? And, oh, yeah, this weekend I'm free Saturday night. My kids are coming over, but they're going to watch a movie. I can sneak away and talk. Well, guess what? She decided to watch the movie with the kids. So I can't talk tonight. Let's do it tomorrow night. And every single night I got another excuse. So once again, it was like breadcrumbing. It was stringing me along. Not once did she say to me, you know what? I got too much going on. And I think she had too many men. Like, and that's another thing on dating apps, women open up their inbox and they got 20 guys in one day.
Right.
So
right.
They have to go through each one of these guys, decide which one they want to answer, and then start that process with a new guy almost, what, several times a week, usually. Go ahead.
So I'm curious because you're talking about some very real, tangible examples.
Yep.
What, in your opinion, needs to be different next time?
Well, when I say how Saturday and Saturday sounds good, and then you call me Saturday morning and say something came up, I believe her, but I don't know how to answer that. That's okay. Where the trust factor comes in, because I don't know if she's just doesn't want to. get together that night, or something came up, or something, or another date came along and she'd rather go see him. So it's hard to say.
So just to catch the you know, you're running a worst case scenario about maybe she's got somebody else, and that's making it personal about you. So that's a potentially one of the three P's that it could be. You might be right. She might have another date. That's, you know, 50.
But that's fine, because we're in the dating phase. So you can date men, but be honest with me. Say, look, I don't make the date with me and then cancel. I mean, we're supposing that was the case.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I want to catch, right? Because if, are you able to articulate that to her, right? If she has some other dates, you're happy with her. We're in the dating phase. I'm okay with you having some other dates. I just want you to be honest with me about what's happening.
That's it.
Have you had that conversation with them?
Not that woman.
Right. So that would be the offer, right? Because what I'm hearing you, Andrew, is that you've got some intention there and you've got some boundaries. You've done the work. You're there at a place where you know that you're ready to have the relationship. So what I'm hearing is going to shift is for you to be able to articulate those boundaries with whoever you're seeing and being able to stick to them. Have an intention. My intention is whatever it is. What would be your intention?
Well, that weekend, the last one was just to get a phone call from her, because we were texting every day. And by the way, we had so much in common. Every time we brought up a subject that I saw in her profile, she and I were like, we couldn't believe, even our birthdays were 2 days apart or something. Yeah. And it was like, I couldn't wait to talk to her. I was like, we have to talk, because this is like, and she just wouldn't make the time, and just the whole thing was befuddling or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, no, I hear that. So in that instance, whether she phones you or she doesn't, and this is for your listeners as well, if you're in that similar situation, whether she phones you or not, is that within your control? Right. So whether she does or she doesn't, it's not within your control. And so the offer would be, don't bother yourself with that. Bother yourself with what is in your control. So what's in your control in that situation?
Well, I'll tell you later how I did this. But okay. On Monday, because so from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I got excuses every day.
Right.
Monday, I waited all day to see if she would text me. She didn't. So Monday night, I sent her a text along the lines of, Jane, it has been a pleasure talking to you. When you have the time to call me, I'm here and I'll be happy to take your call. And I left it like that. So very, very cordial, no judgment, but it was like, I'm not waiting anymore. You call me when you're ready. And guess what? She never called.
It's interesting that you say that. You know, you say that you're ready and you'll be there, but that's what I'm hearing is that you're kind of blurred a boundary there. Can you hear that? That you've said, look, I'm ready. I'll be here whenever you're ready to contact me. And so the ball's in her court. You know, my offer, what I'm wanting to point to is you have some power here to be able to put an intention in so that you're not going to be following these breadcrumbs, that you're not going to be strung along. You're still waiting for her to contact you and make that initial point of contact. What I'm pointing to is the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not ready to be in a relationship with someone who's not able to commit. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave it here.
Oh, I should have left it. Okay, I see what you're saying.
It gives you the power back, right? Because otherwise you're saying, I'm okay with you not contacting me, and you can contact me whenever you're okay with that, and I'll be here ready.
But it realistically and honestly, I was done anyway. So, you know, let's say a week went by and she called me. I probably would have said, which one are you? You know, and played it off as if I don't remember which one I like. And I don't know if I would have taken the call maybe, but I hear what you're saying. I should have established.
It's just a catch that I hear that you're being cordial and you're wanting to leave the doors open and being nice. I get that. And there's truth in that. But in order for you to be able to set a boundary about how am I showing up in my next relationship? How am I not going to be giving these breadcrumbs that you're talking to? What needs to be different for me to be able to feel empowered, set some boundaries and not and ignore these red flags when they're coming up? And that's an opportunity to set what's within your control. And define yourself. And it's going to feel uncomfortable because it's out of your comfort zone.
I found the exact text. Okay. So it's, hi, Mary. I'll put in Mary. Hi, Mary. Hope you're having a great day. I'd still love to chat with you when you're free, but I'll let you reach out when the timing works for you. And that's how I left it. And that night I went to bed and I said, I'm probably never going to hear from her. I woke up Tuesday morning and I went back on the dating app and I started looking for another one. So, because in my mind, if she didn't text me on Monday to say to me, I'm sorry about the weekend. I know I promised a phone call and I just want to let you know that tonight I'm free. She did nothing. So that told me right then and there, she had already walked away. So, but I do hear what you're saying. I should have established, like, I'm going to move on because you're clearly not, you know.
Yeah, should have. I mean, it's an invite really to just tap into what you're aware of. And I'm hearing that you're aware she's stringing you along.
Yep.
And so if you're not kind of trusting yourself, because that's what it's about, trusting your gut instinct that this person is stringing me along, what you've done is you've, you know, and I say this with full compassion, Andrew, but you've let yourself wide open to someone who's stringing you along to continue doing
that. To string me along. Yeah.
And just to take some ownership on that's what the message is effectively saying.
But honestly, I would have shut it down. If she waited a week, let's say she calls me tonight, I'd say, you know, no, yeah.
It's really for your listeners to kind of catch for themselves, how am I being complicit in doing the things that I say I don't want?
I contributed to her breadcrumb. I kind of laid my own breadcrumbs. Yes. We have a few minutes left. I'd like to talk about that book, the ebook you have about how to meet people in 52 days or 52.
It's 52 different ways to meet someone in real life.
And okay.
There's one for in real life, and if you're on the dating apps and you want to get off the apps and meet someone in real life, it's just 52 different ideas of where to go and what places to meet, so that you can meet people in real life. And there's also 52 creative date ideas. If you're already in a relationship, maybe you've just started the relationship, or maybe you've been together for years, and you want to mix things up a bit. You want to kind of, you know, stop going to them. Date on a dinner date or a movie date, but you want to do something a bit different.
Yeah.
So there's two ways.
From what I understand, the women like a man who does pick the date. Like, so if we get to the second date, so usually the first date is a meet and greet, and then that's the way I like to do it. Let's have a cup of coffee, or I live by the beach, so sometimes we'll go down the boardwalk, introduce ourselves, say hi, and if it's yes, I'd like to see you again. From what I understand, and you're a woman, so you tell me, do women want the man to plan the next date? Or some guys will say, hey, what do you want to do Saturday night? I'll do whatever you want to do. Women want the man to plan it. So that second book you're talking about would give me an idea where to take her.
Sure. We'll definitely give you some ideas, but I can't talk for all men or all women. It's okay. You can determine
That's fair.
The relationship that you're having, whether does she seem like somebody who's a bit alpha and wants to be able to make that decision, so empower her to make the decision. But if you're feeling like you need to step up, then you make the decision. And so
I have a protocol that I do with women that I just meet. And so if they're, let's say they live two towns down, three towns down, and I did do this for the first one that I met, I talked about in January. I want to date them in their town because I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel like they're close to home. So I said to her, I'd like to take you out to dinner, but is there a nice something that you enjoy going to, you know, within your neighborhood? And I'll take you there. This way you'll be home in 5 minutes. And she did. She picked something nice and we went there and we had such a great time. We went to a bar afterwards and we had, I don't drink, but she had a cafe latte or something, whatever. And I had a ginger ale. And that's what gave me the idea. Like, this is great. We're hitting it off. But then she started breadcrumbing me. So, but I put the ball in her court. By saying something in your neighborhood, because I want you to feel comfortable. And
that's beautiful. I love that. And it's being mindful of the other person, right? And I'm hearing that you are very cognizant of the other person. And what tends to happen in that kind of relationship is that we don't put our own needs first. And that's definitely something that we can be falling short of. So setting boundaries, being able to be okay with setting that boundary without the fear that this person isn't going to like me or they're going to leave me. And this is just really for your listeners to be able to just catch that You know, if you can sit in the question, what do I want? And really answer that honestly for yourself. If you're finding that a difficult question to answer, it's highly likely that you're putting someone else's needs above your own. And so it's an opportunity to start there. What do I want? Create an intention around your dating. And if things get a little bit wobbly or shaky and you're not too sure, bring it back to your intention. Am I actually getting my intention here? And just bring awareness to that. And because bringing awareness to something that's outside of your awareness is a way of creating more choice. So if I, you know, if I have an intention, I want this person to respect my boundaries, or I want this person to just start simple, just respect my boundaries, to be honest with me, to be able to have that kind of conversation. If you're dating lots of people, I'm okay with that because we're just starting out. I don't have a problem with that. Just be honest with me and make that your intention. And then you're able to have the conversation with them. If you think that they're giving you breadcrumbs, you're able to say, look, I'm experiencing this. You know, it was one of the things I asked for honesty, and I'm not experiencing that. And so I'm just going to close this off. I'm going to stop this now because I have a boundary. That's going to make me think, wow, this guy's got some intentions. This guy's got some trust of himself, and he's got some integrity. I'm going to be more attracted to that than than someone that says to me, okay, I've not heard from you for a while. Just call me whenever you're ready and I'll be here waiting for you. I'm going to go, okay, no, not really that interested. I want somebody who's going to have a bit of a backbone on that and just tell me, look, I'm cool with you dating other people. I'm cool with you going out there. I just want some honesty. And if you're not able to do that, that's a no from me.
Quick story about that, and then we got to wrap it up. Sure. Two girlfriends ago, I met her online and we went on a date, and then we went on a second date. On the second date, she said to me, I am seeing other men. And I said, that's what dating is. It's, yeah, we're not exclusive. So. Yeah. And she said to me, I happen to be dating another man named Andrew. And we laughed at that. So, yeah, because it was kind of funny that she's dating two Andrews. The third I'm going to say maybe the fourth date, we were at dinner somewhere. And she said to me at the end of dinner, she said, I'd like you to know I've made my mind up. I'm going to date you. And I dumped the other Andrew. And I just thought that was, you know, funny.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, the relationship was not great, but it was just a fun way to start it. So
relationship not great.
Tell the audience where we can find you online and talk one more time. Give us your website, the name of your ebooks, and I'll put all this in the show notes.
So you can find me on My Confidence Coach, all one word, myconfidencecoach.com.au, because I'm in Australia. And so you'll find my ebooks on that website. You'll find the quiz, which is a super fun 5-minute
It's fun. I took it.
And so if you want to make a contact with me and continue this conversation, it's absolutely transformational. You'll find all my contact details on my website and on my ebooks. Just reach out and let's have a chat. What I will say to people, if you are going through any kind of traumatic experience, I often say, you know, imagine I'm a tennis coach and you want to improve your tennis game, right? And this is a metaphor for dating, right? But you come to me and you've got a broken shoulder. Your shoulder's a little bit broken and a little bit not going to be playing optimally. I'm going to recommend that you do get healing for that and that you go to see the necessary therapies and counselors that are out there that are all very, very useful in these kind of situations. And once you've done that healing, once you're ready to take your game to the next level, that's what coaching will do. And it will transform all of the mindset thinkings that are keeping you stuck in something that's not healthy, because you're consistent in every situation that you're in. And so it's you that has to do the change. That's why I say it's not about getting your ex back. It's about getting you back.
Thank you for saying that, because I don't think we talked about that. We talked about it before we were recording, and I like that quote. It's not about getting your ex back. It's about getting you back, and I got me back. So that's a very true statement, and it works.
Yep,
so.
100%.
Zara.
Lovely to share my beats with you. Like I said in the beginning, it's been an absolute pleasure, Andrew.
And thank you for coming all the way from Australia to talk with us today.
Yeah.
The wonders of technology. Zara, thank you for coming on the show, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Zara Atwater so much for coming all the way from Australia. So the wonders of technology, right? So, but seriously, I learned something today that it makes so much sense now that I hear it. When I said to her, take the time you need and I'll be here and waiting for you. No, that was stupid. And Zara's right. It tells her that I have nothing better to do with my life and I'm just going to sit here and wait for her to call me. I got to make it sound like I have a life and I am busy and, you know, like I got better things to do than wait around for you. That's how it goes. And that is why I bring you these podcast episodes, because I need to learn. And it's taken me so many years. And now that I'm single and I'm getting back out there, this is what I'm learning. And I hope you're learning too. And I hope you're enjoying the podcast and the episode. So if you are, please, in Apple and Spotify, leave me a review, like rate, review, 5 stars would be nice. And maybe tell some friends. And if you're feeling generous, in the show notes is buy me a cup of coffee. I could use a couple of bucks to help with the show. But all of that aside, folks, thanks for listening. And until next time, ciao.